We have a tight studio, so we need to stop. Something indicates that we ambushed the Auditor General. Thank you for coming. We, as a committee, were invited to join COPA in the interrogation of the department's use or overuse or over-reliance of consultants next week. And as is practice, the AG would normally, in a session prior to interacting with the department, empower the members of COPA. And I would believe you've done that. I mean, my days, that's what you used to do. So if you have done that with COPA members, we are asking that you do a similar type of thing with our members so that we are able to engage meaningfully. So members of our committee, I know they're scared of financial stuff, that's why they're not paying attention. But members of our committee will be empowered by your briefing so that we can ask intelligent questions in scope. I think that is the first business of the day, and then we will release you because you have asked to be released. So we will do that. We then have a bit of in-house business that we want to deal with members. A minute to report adoption of our unannounced visit to the adoption of the Groenpunt and the preparations for a report of our unannounced visit to the audit to Dix and whatever minutes we have. And then finally our interaction, quarterly interaction with Dix. So that's the business of the day. I want to take advantage of our stakeholders that are here, but you'll probably get official communique to that effect from Cindy. We are in the cycle of stress plan, budget and performance and all those things with the department, and we normally invite our stakeholders. Micro, Vits Justice School, and those people. What are we requesting this time around to our stakeholders? It's really a more focused discussion. We don't want to have a broad discussion that we've been having every year. And we're asking you because we know that either collectively or individually, you've looked at things like women in ECS, looked at things like overcrowding and had symposiums and all that type of thing. You've looked at things like torture and inhumane treatment in our facility and also the rehabilitation part of it. So we really want you to come and talk to us on your research findings and how those research findings can then be translated into the stress plan and budget. The fact that there are vacancies, the fact that there are too many people in offices as opposed to at the rock face, a thing that we've discussed for the last 5 years. It's really the how do we take those things and translate them into the budget. So that's what we're going to be asking you to do. But you will get a formal correspondence from Cindy to that effect. Because the 26th, I think, is when we schedule our stakeholder interaction so it'll be more focused than just a broad brief for all. And we're asking you to, as stakeholders, to come and empower us in those areas specifically. Having said that, welcome to our colleagues from the media, welcome to our colleagues from our stakeholders and everybody else, and to the Auditor General and special thanks. We want to hand over to you. I'm sure members have the documents before them. Just to indicate that they will be giving us a briefing on their findings so that we can be sharp enough to interact with the department and with COPA next week. We don't have a meeting, we have a joint meeting with COPA. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members, and thank you very much for this opportunity to do this presentation on the use of on the performance audit of the use of consultants at selected national departments. We've asked that full report made available to all the members of this portfolio committee, and I really hope that you've all received it. But this morning we will just deal with the presentation, and we also handed out the summary of another report, similar report that was conducted in the UK, just to demonstrate that similar findings, challenges are also experienced in other countries. Now, I want to start with our reputation promise as an office. Now, as the chairperson correctly stated, the purpose of this engagement is to enable oversight. Now, if you say we enable oversight, from our perspective, what we are saying is we want to empower this committee to influence certainly the strategic direction of the report. Then, this committee must also be able to monitor the implementation of that strategic direction. In the process, they must be able to identify the risks that are faced by the department. Then they must ensure that there is proper accountability and transparency by those who are allocated these responsibilities. And then lastly, they must implement corrective action. Now, I'm sure in the SOPA hearing, a lot of reference will be made to this committee, and what the expectations of this committee will also be in following up some of the commitments which are going to be made by the department during the hearing. Now, firstly, what is performance auditing? Now, performance auditing is the independent audit process to evaluate the measures put in by management to ensure that resources are procured economically, efficiently, and effectively. Now, that's quite a mouthful. In short, we can say we audit to ensure that the taxpayer out there gets value for its money. So from the start, I can say this whole audit was not focused as an action against consultants. And we don't say don't use consultants, but we say any plan to use consultants, plan properly for them, monitor them effectively, and make sure that in the end we do get value for money when we do make use of consultants. But why specifically? I mean, there are so many areas in government that we can focus on. Why specifically consultants? Now, if one look at the expenditure over a 3-year period, that was 2008 to 2011, over 102 billion was spent on the use of consultants by national and provincial departments. Now, we all recognize that South Africa has a skill crisis in certain areas, and therefore the need of use of consultants is necessary in certain areas. But one must properly consider in which areas and for what purpose. It's for all of that very same reason that the relationship between the consultants and government is very important. Because in the process, there must be a proper skill transfer, there must be proper cooperation, and one must make sure that when consultants are aware of the weaknesses in the systems of government, that those weaknesses are not abused. And that can only be achieved if there is a proper partnership between these parties. We believe that the public sector can benefit, and the consultants can benefit through this relationship. And then we've done two performance audits previously. One way back in 1996, and then we did sort of a follow-up in 2002, and strangely, when we now conducted this audit, it mirrors the same findings as we've identified back in those years. So it demonstrates that over these many years, we haven't made a lot of progress in managing the work done by consultants. But how does the work from performance audit differ from the work done by our normal financial auditors, regularity auditors here? Annually, they come in, receive the financial statements, and they audit that financial statements. Make sure that it's a true reflection of the financials of the department. However, when performance auditing comes in, we focus on the figures: economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. Now, if one hears the word economy, one immediately thinks cheaper stuff. But that's not what it's about. It's got five elements to it. We say you must have the right resources for the right quantity, of the right quality, at the right time, and the right place. And only then you look at price. So all the others must be in place, and then you look at price. if you look at efficiency, when you look at the process, are we doing things right? So if we have a certain amount of resources, can we either do more with the same resources, or we can we use less resources and achieve the same results? When it comes to effectiveness, it is, are we doing the right things? So, are we achieving the objectives that we want to achieve? So, regularity auditing is done on an annual basis. Performance auditing, we normally cover a cycle. We don't restrict ourselves to a financial year. You will see some of the contracts that we covered goes back 2, 3, 4 years. So we don't limit ourselves to a financial year as well. Now, the next slide is just the analysis of this expenditure on consultants by national departments and provincial departments. Now, one can see on the national departments, the blue ones, the expenditure is sort of consistently high. But if you look at the provinces, there is an increasing trend. And I think if you look at last year's financial statements, you will see that this expenditure is ballooning at this stage. It's really gaining momentum, I can say. So it is really an area that must be observed from an oversight perspective. But why was the Department of Correctional Services included in this assignment? Now, if one looks at the spending by national departments, and which were 33.5 billion over the three financial years, we selected 8 national departments for audit. But by selecting the 8, we've covered 74% of the expenditure by national departments. So we went for the 80-20 principle. We didn't really achieve the 80, but by only selecting 8, we got to 74. And correctional services was amongst those 4. So when we did the audit, what did we look at? We started off by the planning and appointment process. Now, if we say planning and appointment, it is, do we really know what we need? So, have we done a proper needs analysis? Have we done a proper cost-benefit analysis? You see, we're going to pay so much, but what is the benefit that we're going to get from? Then, did we go through a proper procurement process, a competitive process? I mean, most of these kind of services require an open bidding tender process because of the announceable. Did the department really go out on tender? In appointing the consultants, was there proper contract administration? So did they set proper milestones to enable them to monitor the use of the consultants so that we know what is the quantities and qualities that we expect from those consultants? Then the second area was internal capacity. Internal capacity we looked at from the angle of, should we continuously make use of consultants, or should we rather try and build that capacity in-house, so that in the longer term, we don't rely on the use of consultants for that same service? Or even in the cases where we decide to continue with the use of consultants, do we have the capacity internally to oversee the work of those consultants? Because in many instances, you will see that they use consultants to oversee the work of other consultants, which is really creating independence issues and various other kinds of issues. Then we looked at the training and transfer of skills from consultants to employees. In terms of a cabinet resolution, contacts with consultants or departments are encouraged to include the transfer of skills from the consultants to the departmental employees. Now, in many cases, you will find, yes, they have nothing in the contract with the consultant. But do they monitor it? Do they make the people available? The people that they do make available, are those the right people with the right competencies so that they enable the consultant to transfer that skill? And in the end, do they evaluate whether that process was in fact effective? Because that's a separate deliverable that consultant is charging. But in the end, very seldom delivers one. but very seldom doesn't get paid for. So it remains a huge problem. Then the performance management and monitoring, I can almost say it links up to the planning and appointment process. If you don't know what you want, and you've not set proper milestones and performance, how can you monitor if that consultant is delivering what you expect of him? So if planning an appointment is failing, which we will see in the case of correctional services, then it's very, very likely that the performance management and monitoring will also fail. Because the tools are simply not provided in order to perform this function. Then it comes to extension of contracts. One sees it often. A consultant is appointed to perform a certain function up to a certain level. But I've seen very few consultants who work themselves out of the job. So, So especially when you come to your IT environment, they create that dependency on themselves. You should secure the extension of the contract, and that extension just leads to another and another and another. So that is something that is planned for, be guarded against. And then closing and finalizing projects. That relates to, have we actually achieved what we've planned to achieve? Were the deliverables delivered? Is there a transfer of skills also? Were these, in fact, transferred? This is the process to say, how can we improve this process? Yes, we've made mistakes during the process, because in some instances, it's the first time that we do this type of consultancy service. But let's learn from it, document it, and see how we can improve in the future on it. Now, what did we find across government? And it's basically a deficiency in all the areas. And it is summarized in the big report that I gave to you. I think it's on page 17 or 20, 21, page 19. There's a summary of all the findings across all these national departments. And especially in the planning and appointment process and the performance management process, this is a huge problem across government. But let's take it, I can say, focus area by focus area. In the planning and appointment process, these assessments were not properly done. Procurement processes were not followed. And then the milestones, timelines, and the costs were not clearly specified. Quite often you get contracts which are open-ended in terms of price. They specify the activity to be performed and the price per activity, but not how many of that activities can be performed. So the consultants just go on and the expenditure just increase and you don't have control over that, the contract. Internal capacity. Some departments have own staff appointed for that very same function. But because the staff was not performing, consultants were appointed. So you in fact pay double for the same service. And then there, of course, were the cases where consultants were appointed because there was a lack of internal capacity. On the training and transfer of skills, I think we said enough of it. It is clear that it's not taking place in many of the departments for it. On performance management and monitoring, effective oversight and internal controls are not executed prior to payments. That also relates to when they receive an invoice. You will find a consultancy deliver a service for millions and millions of rand, and they deliver an invoice with a one-liner to the department. Consultancy service rendered 400 million, and department paid based on that one-liner without confirming that they in fact received value for money for their services rendered. Extension of contracts. Contracts were frequently extended due to a lack of project management and monitoring. And then the closing and finalization of projects, departments failed to retrospectively analyze projects. If that brings me now to the department's specific findings of correctional services, and at this stage I'm going to hand over to my colleague on our right gratitude, who's going to take you through this. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to go into the specifics of the department. The total expenditure on consulting from 2008-09 to 2010-11 was 2 billion. When I say consultants, I'm referring to outsourced services, consultants, and contractors grouped together. So going forward, when I speak about consultants, I'm speaking about any of those three, outsourced services, consultants, and contractors. And our report is also structured like that. Okay. The number of projects that were audited were 27, and the value of the projects audited was 214 million. On the screen right now, we have the consultant that was selected, the 27 that I referred to. We indicate the name of the consultant as well as the service that they rendered and the amount that was spent and the period of the contract. Basically, what we indicate on this particular slide is areas where deficiencies were identified in the audit. So basically, there's areas that my colleague referred to earlier on, we group the findings into planning and appointment, internal capacity, performance management and monitoring, transfer of skills, extension of contracts, and closing and finalizing of projects. The majority of projects that we selected were IT projects. We had a CETA contract to look at in detail. We had special IT projects also looked at. We looked at the development of an image turnaround campaign that the department embarked on. We had media monitoring services contract that was entered into. And also we had various training contracts. There are lots of training interventions by the department that were actually executed by consultants. I think the amount is up to about 15 million, and we had a specific training that we looked at also in detail of about 15.5 million for management development training program. And then we looked at the use of consultants on special investigations that the department embarked on. We looked at compliance, consultants that were used for compliance and IT audits. We looked at transaction advisors that the department employed to negotiate the money changes to contracts and undertake feasibility studies on new prisons. And then we looked at other feasibility studies that were also done, the use of consulting on those feasibility studies, for example, for outsourcing pharmaceutical services and also the refinement of corporate service policies and procedures. So our selection was broad. It covered a whole lot of different types of consultants. The most prominent finding that we had was planning and appointment, as well as performance management and monitoring. So I will discuss in detail a few contracts that we have elected to discuss at this forum. There were a few contracts that we could not audit further because of the SIU having some documentation about three contracts, the Bosasa contract, Angela projects and property, as well as an investigation done by the SIU itself. But the majority of the contracts, the 27 contracts, were actually covered during the audit. I'm going to go into specific challenges, and I'll start with the CETA contract. Basically, what we had there was consultants that were appointed to actually render information technology services for the department, and the services are rendered by CETA staff as well as subcontractors or consultants outsourced by CETA. The contract that we looked at totaled 58.17 million. That was the contract value from 2007 to 2009. And the first finding that we identified was that there was no cost-benefit analysis done on the appointment of the consultants. So we were not, the department was not able to provide us with evidence that they had actually determined whether this was the most cost-effective route that they could have taken in relation to IT services. There was no strategic planning to reduce IT dependence, so for the most part, the department was comfortable with continuing to use the services of CTA. And the reason was because there were high vacancy rates in the department, in the IT directorate. And there were various reasons for that. The department froze some positions because of inadequate funding. They didn't even revise staff establishment in certain areas. So the department simply did not have the permanent capacity to be able to carry out the function. And over the years, the use of consultants has increased. Consultants were used up to 20 years. You find a consultant being at the department for up to 20 years. And we found instances where consultants also managed other consultants. So there was no departmental representative on the project management of the project. So that is a real risk in terms of dependency on consultants. And also on the areas of skills transfer, there were areas where the skills transfer clause within the contract was not adhered to, so there was not even monitoring of this service to see that the consultant actually affected it. And on some CTA contracts, there was no skills transfer at all. So that is an area that was lacking. Okay. There were payments that were made before the SLA was signed. That means that there was limited monitoring during that time and it was not done in accordance to the SLA. Payments were not monitored to the CTA consultants. The department ended up spending about 18 million rand more than what was originally contracted because the payments were not monitored. So they did not have controls to ensure that they only spent up to contract amount. And then there were other IT projects that we looked at. We looked at a visualization project. There in particular what happened is that the project was not completed as of January 2012, although the full contract amount was paid. And that was mainly due to lack of monitoring. Yeah, that particular project, the objective was to install new information technology service and to provide training on the new server. So some of the deliverables in relation to that project were not done. There were various inconsistencies identified in the appointment of the consultant. I mean, there are a couple, so I'm going to just mention a few. They did not have a request for quotation specifying the tender and evaluation criteria for that particular tender. The tender was not evaluated on functionality and preference points. They did not have a bid adjudication committee. The bid evaluation committee made a verbal recommendation to the supply chain to the director to appoint the consultant. They did not enter into a proper contract that the National Treasury prepared for projects such as these. And the main thing of the contract was the fact that it was not completely delivered, although the full contract amount was paid. And then we also had an open view project, which was to basically provide nationwide network infrastructure to the department. The cost of that particular contract was 21 million. And like the previous contract that I just mentioned, the full contract amount was paid, although the project was not completed. And it was almost 5 years late. And one other issue with this particular project that I want to highlight is the fact that there was no competitive bidding process for this particular contract. So for a 21 million rand contract, they had only one quote. Instead of obviously going on tenders, the project was above 500,000. And this consultant was actually the same consultant that performed the needs analysis for the project. which is not allowed in accordance with the process, because they're supposed to be disqualified from actually going on with the project, but they did both the needs analysis as well as the execution of the OpenView project. And then some of the smaller contracts, we had the development of an image turnaround campaign. They also monitoring was an issue. Invoices were certified without checking whether services were rendered. The progress and quality of the work done was not checked. There were overpayments on the contract at some point because they were not checking the level of progress in respect of the project, and the project was completed late because of lack of monitoring. Certain progress meetings that were supposed to be held, we could not get evidence of those being held to ensure that the consultants were complying with the SLA. So there were many areas of concern in relation to monitoring of this contract, and payments were also made before the SLAs were signed. So there was effectively little monitoring against the SLA before the SLA was signed. So the issues are quite common within the project. I mean, we see issues of monitoring coming into play. We see issues of high vacancies coming into play, the cost-benefit analysis not being done, no skills transfer, and procurement processes not being followed. And what we request from the portfolio committee is that on certain issues, specific issues, for example, of filling vacancy positions, and looking at cost-benefit analysis of these projects, the portfolio committee should actually look at intensely scrutinizing the strategic plans of the department and the accounting officer's report in respect of the value for money that has been derived from the consultant project. Okay. On certain areas, such as skills transfer, monitoring of consultants, payments on consultants, we request that the committee monitor those activities on a quarterly basis. And then there were certain findings that we identified that could be isolated, and in which case we request that the committee follows up on the corrective action that has been taken by the department to deal with the issues that were identified. And those are basically the procurement issues. So that slide is basically color-coded to actually indicate the type of actions that we require that will be required from the portfolio committee. I'm going to move on to other projects. We had media monitoring services where, again, the work of the consultant was not monitored. The work was not monitored because the department didn't have effective processes and experienced officials to be able to monitor the consultants, and as well as the fact that the director didn't have the staff to whom the weekly and monthly analysis could be presented. So we do find a challenge where some of the SLA conditions cannot be effected because the department is not coming to the party. And also on this particular project, there was no post-project evaluation that was performed to determine if value for money was actually received for the services that was rendered. And also on this particular project, there was no evidence of skills transfer as required by the SLA. And then we had a management development training program where a couple of service providers were involved. The cost was 19.3 million. The major issue there was that the cost benefit analysis was not done. The program was actually it was actually centralized, and the department had to incur accommodation costs, a whole lot of other costs associated with bringing officials to a central place, which whereas they could have actually had a decentralized training where they were paying a few individuals to travel across the country. But the cost of the venue accommodation and meal costs and other traveling cost was more than 267% of the actual training cost. So there was excessive expenditure in that regard. There were various other training interventions, about 15.5 million that we had a look at, and the concern that we had there was that the officials, some officials did not attend the training, although it was paid for, and some did not pass or submit their portfolios of evidence as required by the training, through the training course. So a failure of the department to successfully complete the training interventions meant it had a financial impact as well as an operational impact, because the department staff were not able to successfully apply the learning areas. Again, on these projects, we request that the portfolio committee considers the following actions: on the cost-benefit analysis, that they perform intense scrutiny of the strategic plans and the accountability reports by the accounting officer in relation to the use of consultants, on monitoring that the activities are actually monitored by the portfolio committee on a quarterly basis. We also propose that on certain once-off issues, that the department follows up on corrective action, that the portfolio committee follows up on the corrective action that the department is implementing. These are some of the, I've got on the screen, some of the key recommendations on how government can rectify the situation. The department can develop a strategy on the use of consultants to reduce dependence. They can comply with legal frameworks, laws, regulations and policies, especially on the issues of appointment of the consultants. Maximum contract values, the number of hours should be should actually be stipulated for the contract and should be adhered to. The contract should be managed and monitored properly. Training and transfer of skills should be enforced. The department should investigate excess payment and back payment. Formal needs analysis should be conducted prior to appointing consultants where cost-benefit analyses are actually done, and departments should by all means create sufficient internal capacity to be able to perform the services themselves. And some of the actions that can be taken at this point is to investigate possible fruitless and wasteful expenditure and learn from the past and apply in the future what the types of activities that will ensure value for money from the use of consultants. The King 3 recommends that there be assurance from management, from oversight committee, from independent assurers to be able to deal with internal control weaknesses. And at this point, like I said earlier, the review of strategic and business plans as well as the accounting officer's report will go a long way into reducing the risk of the misuse of consultants. In order to really get to a stage where value for money is derived from using the consultants, we have obtained commitment from the National Treasury, from the Auditor Department, from the Ministry, from the Portfolio Committee Chair, and from the Department of Public Service Administration. Okay. And some of those commitments are that from the Auditor Department and the Minister is that there will be new structures in the IT directorate. Payments will be made on phases of work completed. The responsible units will submit closing and valuation reports and flag lessons learned. The recommendations from the finished report will be presented to the National Commissioner and the Minister for Implementation. And there will be an audit of existing contracts to determine progress and completion dates. And there will be investigations into deviations from supply chain management processes. And the portfolio committee chair also committed that there will be a strong focus on the issues raised in the report, and the committee will hold the responsible role players accountable for the findings. And National Treasury, on the other hand, committed to enforcing compliance with the legal framework and providing guidelines on the process of appointing consultants. And the Department of Public Service and Administration will look at the role of consultants in the public sector. In conclusion, we say that the private sector is a critical part in the equation of service delivery. We believe that they can play a role in helping the departments to achieve their objectives, but the departments must take steps to actually up malpractices in these areas, and there should be strong governance support by the private sector as well to make sure that there's value for the services that they run. I don't know if my colleague wants to add anything in conclusion. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, AG's office. I'm really just going to ask members to just ask questions of CAP. I mean, we can't ask the AG why did this happen. That we must ask the department. Really, just questions of clarity or comments. This was intended, I beg your pardon, to assist us to prepare for next week's meeting. That's what this was intended for. But if there are questions of clarity in terms of what AG said, in our preparations, I will allow that, but not interrogating them on any matter. Can we take Mr. Self and then take Mr. Gubeni and then take Advocate Matt? Mr. Self?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think it's an extremely informative presentation, and thank you very much for it. There are really three things I'd like to just ask by way of clarity. The first is that there are three big outsourcing agencies in the Department of Correctional Services. That is the firms of Borsatis, Vondolo, and Tezudo. And now you've referred in part to Borsatis the amount of 15 million rand. But actually the value of services that those three companies have got much, much more than that. And I just wondered why that didn't fall within the scope of the investigation. Secondly, you refer to administrative extension or extension of the contract. And I'd be very interested to know, because my reading of the CFMA says that there are certain requirements that need to be adhered to before a contract can be administratively extended and not simply and not put out to a competitive process. What are those and were those prescripts adhered to? And then I noticed in the presentation that there were several cases where the procurement processes weren't followed at all. What are the consequences of that and who is the responsible agency for making sure that those consequences actually happen? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The agent's office has said multiple. The actual skeleton, the skeleton that they've given us, that is the document of the location which we couldn't write, if maybe we can get a copy of
it. It's in the book.
Thank you, Chair. Member Self already touched on the issues. I just wanted to know with regard to this authorization of these contracts, the irregular contracts, where there is no proper money. You refer to the agencies. Who is responsible agencies with FC allowance? My question is more direct. Within the department, who was the official, you know, who signed off this particular contract? That is the one. The other one is, Mr. Stan already asked about the consequences. Are there consequences for the head of the commission, the ultimate accounting officer, you know? And if you notice the necessity, there are deep irregularities which seem to be very severe. Not be investigated by the public protector or other body they might be. Because we can't go on year after year. With these same problems. I just want to endorse what the previous speaker said. I've got high regard for the 80s. But if the 80s science does not, you know, have any reaction from the department, then it's a waste of time. Then it's a waste of time. They are the one box of the taxpayers. And that the money should be properly utilized. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. And also thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, I want to know that the department respond on this matter, on this report. And if the department did respond, what is the response on all these challenges or funding of the technical?
All right, let me help the AG on one or two of them. The department didn't respond, that's why we think them on the scene. I don't think they've responded other than, I would imagine, being the auditee responding to the original questions. But the real responding must be done on the 15th when we talk to them with the scope. And then just on the other one that I don't want you to respond to, AG, because I'm helping you out, I'm being nice to you. The high regard for the AG, Mr. Max, the AG doesn't have power to do anything, he just makes a fine. That is why he's come to us. So we must be careful not to almost say that the AG doesn't have teeth, because he doesn't have teeth in this regard. So I don't want you to defend yourself. I'll defend you in that regard. So on those two matters, you don't have to respond. You said you had high regard, but
yeah,
so when you say but, when you start the but, then can we ask the AG to respond to the questions that were posed?
Thank you, Chair. I will try my best and then I will ask
my colleagues
to assist. Yeah, we selected the sample of contracts to be audited. When we came to Busata, for example, there was no information available. So to extend the audit on Busata will be a meaningless exercise because SIU had most of that information. So we focused on other consultants where we could get information, where we could do a meaningful audit on it. On the requirements for the extension of contracts, it's very clear that that would be the exception. It should not exceed 50% of the contract value. In exceptional cases, the accounting officer can approve extension of a contract beyond 15%. But then there must be very good reasons. Otherwise, the competitive procurement process should be followed. On the consequences for the individual not following, again, that's something that must be directed at the department. It's also something that we feel serious about. It's something that I believe every oversight or body must feel seriously about. And that must be followed up. And that's why we've made that colors in that slide that gratitude presented. Where the department committed that they will follow up on these matters, they will investigate these matters, one must make sure to identify the individuals and those individuals are accountable and responsible for their actions. On the question of who was the official, I'm not sure if gratitude can maybe later assist me. Yes, the matter should be investigated. And on the last one, did the department respond? In the report, there is a short response from the department. They indicated they will implement certain structures. Some transactions will be investigated and actions will be taken. Thank you, Chair.
Gratitude, any?
Okay. The officials that authorized the transactions, there are various people that actually authorized the transactions, so I can't go into detail with that. There were some, obviously, that went all the way to the accounting officer. But then there were also problems with the authorization that was given by the accounting officer and how it was actually implemented. So there were some differences in that. So it would not necessarily just be because of the accounting office, because he would have given a mandate that is correct, and then only upon implementation there was a deviation. But it was various officials that were involved in that area. And on the area of responses, we did receive responses from the department. National Treasury even got a hold of our management report and started acting, especially on the IT contract. So there was activity in that regard in terms of investigation. So generally there has been movement in these areas, I think, is what I said.
Thanks. Just a few general comments. As I said, we are preparing for SOFA. I think the first one, again, that we would have to look at maybe with the assistance of you, AG and Treasury, is this debate about core and non-core business. Unless we finish that debate, we're always going to have it. Because departments will say, I'm the Department of Health, it's not my business to serve food in the canteen. And then give that up. Now, you have said in your investigations that clubs all those things together. Similarly, CETA is specifically set up to do the procurement of IT, not the department. So I'm saying those are the things that we must accept. If you talk about CETA in your report, I think there must be a distinction between CETA procuring and CETA doing the actual work. Because the procurement, if it was done any other way, then that department would be default. Because CETA is supposed to do total procurement. These are the things that we need to look at as government, as the ANC, not ANC, as the portfolio committee, and as the legislature. Because we must not, if we are saying there must be central buying, then let's make that clear to all departments. But it can't be central buying for some, and others go their own. In fact, the problem that we have in DCS sometimes is because they ignore CETA. Because they did exactly the opposite of getting CETA to buy. So I'm saying that's a discussion that we would need to have, members. Then the issue around the department, as you are saying, must investigate. Again, we must discuss it. I have a problem. Because we really say to the department they must investigate themselves in some of these instances. I know you're saying that that was your recommendation, and it's fine. We would need to sit and decide how to do it. Really, should we get those very people to investigate themselves on specific matters? I'm saying that we must discuss. And then the final point, which is just a comment to the Asian Union, probably know this from my days when I was in scope. The performance audit is over 3 years. In this department, I don't think there's been one term where the accounting officer has survived 5 years. So what it really means is that half of your findings were stuff of Golisa and stuff of T and stuff of Peterson. The department hasn't got a stable leadership. And those that we investigated ran away to other departments. What we have to discuss, Tina, is, because I think there was a question you asked, Mr. Mack, what happens to the accounting officer? We really have to start sending the message that if it happened in your time, even if you're not in government anymore, we should be able to pursue you. Because I'm almost preempting Mr. Moyane saying, I inherited all this, and I'm fixing that. And then we say, okay, thanks, well done, department. We should take a step further and say, what about the one who did it and it happened? Otherwise, my daughter, this thing will just carry on. And Moyane will be correct in saying he's inherited it. But the institution remains. Correctional services remain. So I thought I must make those comments in our preparation. Let me start sending that message both to Moyane, and I'm hoping that the political authority will be there, to say that we can accept that thing happened before your time, Mr. Ndebele. But those that did it, what is happening to them, because they're still alive. Whether they're the accounting officer or the CFO at the time, we know all the horror stories of correctional services. So I thought those are the things that members must just use in the preparation. To the AG and his staff, thank you very much. We certainly made a commitment that we will make it a focus area, both to monitor but also to further clarify some of these other things we're talking about, like procurement, core business, and so on. Thanks very much. We'll allow these young men and ladies to leave us, and then we'll quickly do our minutes, and by that time, I'm sure the inspecting judge will have joined us. So, thank you very much. We'll see you on the 15th. Thank you.
I mean, the
All right, guys, then go. Thank you very much. Members, thank you very much. As indicated, next week we meet, I think in one of those V's, somewhere with Toka. V475 is Toka, so we won't have our own meeting, but it is a continuation of this meeting. We have minutes of the 19th, we have minutes of the 20th. We have a report from Groenfin. Those must be adopted. And then, very briefly, we just wanted to touch sides with our observations. Members will remember that when we went to six, we split into three teams. Just for us to share those observations so that when we meet with six later on, at least we know what the other committee said or what other committee picked up. So that's how we're going to do our business. So the legal director's observations have been distributed. That was your one. Okay. I'm not sure the finances observations were distributed, but there were some of us that went there, me and Jogo, and I don't know somebody, but we will share what we picked up. And then we must report back on the request made by the department, the request by the directive given by the portfolio committee on oversight, overseas oversight visit and take a decision. So hopefully those matters will all be resolved. The minutes of the 19th, everybody has them?
Yes, sir.
Cindy indicates to me that there were one or two decisions taken after our quorum has been reduced, but I'm suggesting to her that if we adopt them as is, we then reconfirm them, because it might not have at the time have how, I mean, enforceable, but now that we've got a quorum, they might be enforceable. So there were one or two decisions taken, we were less than nine, and now we have a quorum. Are there any corrections the members would want to affect on page number one of the 19? None? Page number two? Page number three? On page four? On page number five. On page six. That's it, Eva. Any changes on page number eight? No. Page nine. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Page 13. Page 14. Page 15. Anybody moves for the adoption of the minutes? Thank you, Mr. Sarah. Seconded. Thank you very much. Can I just say to members that this will be a good resource document or a good resource for our meeting with stakeholders, because stakeholders all contributed to this report. We're meeting them on the 26th, so this will be part of the document that I would imagine we must look at before the meeting of the 26th. Mr. Sal?
Thank you. Just arriving on the note.
Yes, sir.
There is a lot of commitments and agreements from people who said that they were going to do things that were discussed in the committee. And I just don't want us to lose sight of those commitments for the rest of this time. So I wonder whether Cindy could, I know she's done that on summary of outcomes, but in fact, they're more specific things that people agreed to. For example, Mr. Stolberger agreed to come and brief us on sentence plans for people under two years. I don't want to lose sight of those or to lose track of those commitments. And at some point or another, I'd like them to come back and say, okay, we've got further on this. We're now much further down with the Ramon detention management. We're much further down the line with all the other commitments that were made. And in specific, we did ourselves commit to convene a meeting of the Trustor Portfolio Committee. And I don't want us to recite that either.
All right. I think that's fair. Can I suggest, because we see the department on the 27th. So that's why I said we should be looking at these type of things. We see stakeholders on the 26th, we see the department on the 27th. Maybe in that meeting of the 27th, we should be taking advantage of some of these things. Not all of them, but certainly some of them we can take advantage of. Small burgers certainly could come and tell us what their plan was under 2 year sentences, because that, I would imagine, is the core of their strategic plan going forward. So some of them we'll pick up. Others in longer term, Cindy will know them, like the cluster meeting and so on. And yes, we will keep them on the mind, Mr. Sal. Advocate Mack?
You would remind that last year I requested a committee to schedule a meeting where the department could brief us with regards to gang management. And all over where this damaging of property, riots take place, they were always here. The gangs are involved and the gangs are involved, and they promised us, told us here, they are busy with a plan, the plan is finalized, they are busy with implementation, but we don't know. So I just want to request again that we should ask them to come and brief us so that we can see whether that internal strategy links up with the external strategy of tax and other stakeholders outside, or are they actually operating in the silo. Thank you,
Chair. All right. We take your point, Mr. Mack. But then again, I'm saying, these are things that we should be really dealing with the strat plan. But I'm simply indicating that the strat plan session is only half the morning. It might not be enough time. I'm saying we should be pushing these type of things at all those meetings. A specific meeting on the gang management, I'm sure we can ask them to consider, but I'm just suggesting that we deal with these matters as and when we see them. And I'm saying the 26th and the 27th will be the beginning of us interacting with matters of strategy and of budgets and so on. Thank you very much. We have a set of minutes of the 20th. Members have their set of minutes and have gone through them. Thank you very much. On page number one, any changes? 20th of February, I beg your pardon. Thank you. On page number two. On page number three. On page four. On page five. End last except. Movers, thank you, Mr. Markov-Ruler. Seconders, thank you very much. Minutes adopted and we're up to date with minutes. Just on the other one, before we go to the Frumquist, members would recall that we had a discussion, and I really don't want to open up the discussion again around the oversight and so on. We shouldn't be opening up, but we were specifically recommended to write to Mr. Crowley for him to come in and brief us, and we thought he would do that today. His response, and I'm not sure Cindy has distributed to you, but his response was that the chair of chair doesn't come to Portfolio Committee. the portfolio committee chair must go to him if you want to. But the reservation that we had in that meeting is that maybe we should send a bigger delegation than that. We had also agreed that, that some of us will talk to him informally. I know that Mr. Sungur and they spoke to him informally and so did I. All we need to do today is to set up that delegation if we think that's the route to go. Or if we want to put the thing to bed and not talk about it, let's put it to bed. But the bottom line is the chair of chairs said no, he won't come here. It's up to us to take it forward. So we either send a delegation to go and see him or we bury it until next year. Mangwenya.
Thank you for the report from the chair. And Chairperson, yes, he did write a letter for us today. The Chairperson, they're not able to come to us. But the chair, I still have a concern that the office of the Chairperson was supposed at least to send a delegation to us. Like last term, Mr. Sir, at least they did send somebody coming from the office of the Chairperson to explain why we didn't get an oversight visit outside the country. So for them to just answer us like this, still checked in, I feel that we are still undermined as this portfolio committee, even if he cannot come in front of us. But he got people who work in his office that he can send to the portfolio committee to talk with us. That's why I did approach him, checked in, it's because I did feel that I can't stay with the things inside in me. Let me approach him. I even tell him like that Kerosene, yes, I understand what you are saying, but you are supposed to send somebody to come to talk to us. But he was still feeling strong that he's only going to allow you to come to him and explain. He really was just singing as far as I get the response from the Chairperson. But when I put a prayer to him to say, you think that there's nothing you can do for us? Are you hating us like that? He says, no, come with me. I'm not hating you. Maybe if the Chairperson can come, maybe we can talk and tell him which is the country that you can go. But the country that you have brought to us that you want to go, they will never allow you to go there. So, Chairperson, I think we need to give you again a chance to go and speak with him, then come up with the answer for us. Thank you.
Comment, Abraham, Guni, and then Makagola, and then let's wrap it up.
Okay. Yes. To add, the Chairperson.
Yes, ma'am.
Another thing you said, we were saying we wanted to go all of us as a committee.
Adam,
Chairperson, you know this disturbs me. What I would like to say is that in one of the oldest democracies of the world, Britain, a young man stood for Parliament, and when he got elected, his father sent him a note. In the note, the father said that, young man, if you have attained some or other high office like you have now, remember that you have placed yourself at the disposal of your country and your people so that they may be well governed and lesser burden, you know, it's got to do with levying of taxes. Now, when you take the traffic, you must draw the coach. If that is distasteful to you, then you should not be there at all. Now, Chairperson, when a member of Parliament, I mean, Chairperson, if you turn around tomorrow and tell me that, listen, I will not meet you, I will say, Chairperson, you were elected to serve people. And the fact that you have taken some other office does not mean that you are Mr. Somebody very high up. I see myself as a servant of the people. And I feel very strongly, no matter who it is. I am certain that if you want to be the president on a particular issue that's important, the president is not the same as the I cannot see how a person who becomes chairperson in parliament is not available to members of parliament. But if Comrade Green went and asked for the committee to meet him, it's members of parliament that want to meet him. So I feel, chairperson, that we should put our foot down. The moment we are going to allow this kind of attitude, you are going to find that it is going to spread and people are going to have, we say in Afrikaans, elke hand will say miswerk of us. And that can't happen here, chairperson. Every member of parliament here should be accessible. Is this then the attitude that we have towards ordinary people who want to see us? We are not prepared to go and see them? No, sir. That is the surest recipe to disaster. My feeling, chairperson, is this committee should write in black and white, see that the letter is delivered to his office, that whoever there is must stamp it that they've received the copy, and we will see chairperson, that person sees us. Thank you, chair.
Amen.
Mr. Nguni?
After my colleague has spoken, I will draw on.
I think this is simple. It shows that we put the wrong card. And then I think the chairperson, as we suggested before that we have to send a delegation, I think we have to take that move so that they will see how serious the matter is. So I think for today, chairperson, let us not look aside. Let us set up the delegation and all of us, or maybe all of us, we go there. This is like a race of Muhammad, the chairperson. There was a very good prayer who prayed things happened. One day, Muhammad prayed that the mountain must move to come where he is. And then keep on praying and the mountain doesn't move. There is only one thing that Muhammad was supposed to do, is for him to go to the mountain. So I think, chairperson, that mountain seemingly it won't move, and then let us go to the mountain, because he won't come here, let's go to him. That is the only thing. We call him to the committee, that he refused, and then the committee go to him, simple as that, and then we'll ask the very same question that Mrs. Wendy asked, that I rate this committee so much. Because indeed, chairperson, I didn't even get the response. Because the response was said, no, no committee, that must go elsewhere. Whereas the police, they are going out. Then, to me, there is no logic why the committee and the police, they are going out, whereas us, we are not going out. And then if you can check if it works. We are similar to them, and really, chairperson, I think we have, actually, if it was about me, I would say now, after this meeting, let's go to Florida office and say, Florida, we're coming to you so that we can hear what is happening as a committee. Because you say you won't come to us, you don't even send the first day, and then it's only that happens.
Right. Remember, in training they did give reasons, and those of you that were with me in a meeting over the weekend, we have heard that the powers that be are consistently saying that there is oversight fatigue or something like that. I'm sure you were there, Mr. Clare, talking about oversight fatigue. Jelko is talking about, I don't know what they call it, in fact it is saying that we are more like tourists or something like that. That seems to be the sentiment that is coming out. because all of us want to go to Brazil or wherever, don't go to Africa. So I'm saying that's the sentiment that's coming out of the powers that be. So I'm just warning the delegation when we go there, we must anticipate this type of thing. That's why I said it's just no longer sustainable that Parliament goes, the legislatures go, the local government goes, and when the one leaves, the next one comes. I'm just saying it's murky water now. If members feel strongly, we shall do that. Mark Abdullah said everybody, I think that will probably be like a protest. Maybe it will be more reasonable if we said a delegation. I think if we all went there, we were probably defeated before we got there. But Mr. Self, take us forward. You certainly can go and see three or four of us and then raise the concerns.
Look, I think actually a delegation would probably engage better than if we all went there. Second of all, I think that it is a very valid point to make that there is oversight for peace. But that's precisely the project's job, to make sure that oversight happens in a coordinated manner, and that DERCO doesn't feel overwhelmed by the same, by committees of Parliament coming to the same country over and over and over again. I think the real killer point is that this committee has not been on an oversight trip in 1995. And other committees go overseas twice a year. And I mean, that's the explanation I've made for it here. Under what circumstances does this situation
arise? All right. Can we agree that Mom Gwenya and Mr. Sarah Fuel, because you've got the historic institutional memory, and myself be the delegation. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Yes, I've got no problem. All I want to say is my argument earlier is based on the principle that any person holding office who is an elected member of parliament has to be accessible to all. Issue of the trip and whatever is not my concern. My concern, Chair, is that principle. And if we fail to establish that principle, sir, then the democracy is on a downward track.
All right. Members will communicate that. Mr. Makagula, you'll be the absolute last because Al, Gwenya and Smith will convey the messages to Mr. Prolik. Mr. Makagula.
Yes, Chairman, sir. I just want to add Mr. Abraham to the
delegation.
All right. We've got 10 minutes to adopt the... That's out with that one. We will write back to him saying that in response to his letter, can he give me a date? And then I will smuggle in myself and I'm going there. But we will formally say to him that, okay, fine, give me a date and I'll come and see you, and then I'll notify Mr. Self and Gwenya, and we'll go there. Is that okay? And Abraham, if he's available, sir, you are being asked to go with us, that's fine. Members, we have very quickly the long Schulpens report, 29 pages. Members have had it for a while. Between Sidi and I, we've tried to, I think it's about draft 3, so I'm hoping that members have gone through it and we can make the necessary changes if you so wish. But members have it? Yes?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Can we go to page number 1 of the draft report? All of them have it. It's the one that will have, for instance, under 1.2, the A is underlined.
Yeah.
Everybody's got that number. A is underlined.
Yeah.
Right. They're all talking to the same draft of the report. Page 1, any amendments, members? Page number 2, any amendments, members?
No.
Page number 3, any amendments, members? Page 4, any amendments? I'm hoping members have gone through them. We had it for about 2 weeks.
Yeah,
so page number 5, any amendments? Page number 6. Yes, sir.
Yes. If you look at paragraph 2.2.4,
After the situation has been brought under control, inmates were assaulted by DPS officials. I just want to caution that we use the word inmates were allegedly assaulted. Allegedly assaulted. And then again...
Not before you go there, sir. Cindy is indicating to me that if you go to the page before, what she's really doing, you should say this is what the inspecting judge is saying. Alright.
Okay.
Okay.
Right?
And
then we can go as long as...
Yeah, we, it's not ours. It's really regurgitating what another court said.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Number 7. Thank you. Page number 8. Page number 9, those then become our observations, and the point that you make, Mr. Max, might be relevant here. Any changes on page 9? On page 10? Page 11? Page 12? Page 13? Page 14. I just want to refer members to 1438. Are we happy with this? Cindy and I were grappling with this. I think we all know what we mean, but are we reflecting it properly? Not 13, 381, I beg your pardon. On page 14381, are you happy with the wording? Page 14, right? Page 15? Page 16. Page 17.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Right. Would a new surgery center give the start? Okay, that is fine. Top one, it doesn't think.
Thank you very much. We take that.
I'm going to agree with you.
Speak to the mic now.
On page 14, I'm going to speak to the
mic. Page 14?
Yeah, I don't know whether my end is. There's a moon line. The management confirmed that the contract is not adhering to the four. Our which has to separate the three inmates and she should give it daily. Is it supposed to mail?
The three meals.
Oh.
Not the three inmates, the three meals. Can we jump back to page 19, thank you, ma'am. Page 18, I beg your pardon. Any changes on page 18? Plus 18, 19. Number 20. 21. 22. 23. 24. Move for a copy of this report so that we can send it for ATC. Thank you very much. Unanimously adopted by the committee. We will then send it to AETC. Well done on your report. What we also need to discuss at some point, Mr. Stout, Mr. Nguni, Mr. Max, is maybe when we say these reports have been adopted, we must also highlight maybe this one we want to debate and so on. Some of them have got serious stuff that we just adopt, nobody knows about them. Maybe some of them we can put for formal debate, there's points that we want to put. So that's always open to any member to say, Chair, don't you think these should be debated? Mangwele.
Yeah. Chairperson, follow up on this report. After Wesley,
Yeah, correct.
After Wesley to come back, Chairperson, I heard on the radio that the very same inmate that was assault the member the dad. You are not listening, I was talking and you will be talking.
Okay, talk to me, ma.
So, just as in, I don't know how to put it, but I'm bringing in the table. That after this, the very same image that affects the member, that image died. And we didn't get a report in terms of the member that was set. That how is that member, how is the situation of him, and who killed that image? Thank you.
Okay. Cindy is saying she didn't distribute a report to us from Mr. D'Souza talking about the report, the one page or something like that. But we can redistribute it, but the bottom line is this, as a result of those altercations, an inmate unfortunately lost his life, but the judicial inspector did as normal do an investigation on the unnatural death. Maybe in the coming year we can ask Mota to give us further update, but I'm informed that there has been distributed, and we can redistribute it if need be. Quickly before the inspecting judge comes, members will recall we did an unannounced visit to the officers. We split up into two teams, if not three, to do our own work and then come back and be better prepared when you see the inspecting judge. I'm informed that the team that did the legal side did prepare something. Our team in four, I think you have me in four, is it? I don't think we did something formally, but it was myself, it was Mr. Ndobu. It was the two of us. Yeah. So we will report ours verbally. As is known to members, that we spoke to the head of finance and his team, procurement, and those sorts of functionaries, complained that they don't have nearly enough budget, complained that the two ladies in procurement have to procure for the whole country. In other words, somebody from editorial office will say, we need stationery, they must phone here, they must sign it. Complained that, and I was not aware of it, that they don't even have their own bank account. There's nothing that they sign. It's basically money that GCS. I just thought they had their own individual bank account. They don't have that. So it's a DCS, so they would make a normal requisition to DCS. They complained that they understaffed. I think when we were in that procurement office, there were two permanents and one contractor who had been a contractor for a while. And doing quite a few things. And even that contractor was doing about three people's work, plus the two people there. So there's a chronic shortage. But they did indicate to us that Carlos' organogram was approved, even if it was approved, remember they redesigned it, even if that thing was approved, it couldn't address their shortcomings, is what they said. We then went to the marketing section of it. They brand new. They just started the communication between the Department of Correctional Services and themselves. It's something they're working on, and communication between themselves and the broader public is also something they're working on. But a brand new committee, members will remember there was a young lady that used to come and visit us here, Lo Shang was in charge of it. Lo Shang left, the new person was pretty new, so it's really in a state of flux. I mean, that's our observations, and there were of course also worryingly, and these are allegations, because I'm seeing people outside of just us, allegations of sometimes inappropriate behavior within departments, sexually and otherwise. What we did do, myself and Mr. Zobu, was to extend an invitation that if you guys are scared of talking because you'll be victimized, give us a call and we will come and have coffee with you in a park somewhere where nobody knows where you are. And once we got it, we will then share it with you. But I got the sense that there was a fair amount of intimidation because of sexual harassment that is happening. I have not received anything. We had initially received something anonymously and we'd ask for follow-ups, but as and when we get those things, we would be able to process them. But I do think that when we meet with these guys, at least we must say, this is the perception that it picks up. I don't know, but it's up to members. So that really was what we picked up in our finance and marketing. I'm not sure if somebody wants to talk to this one. It's really about information. We're really going to engage with them later on, yeah. Unless it's a question of clarity. But then there's this one, I don't know what to talk to it, and then we'll open it up generally. Does somebody want to talk to this one? Anybody? Or are we happy? Have we read it? Huh? Or Cindy saying, if you've left anything to add, if you're happy with it, we can use this plus my verbal as some of the inputs. Mr. Max, you can talk?
No, it is my, what you call it? My
team versus legal service. No, but I'm saying you wanted to say something.
Oh, no,
you've got it covered in this one. All right. They come at 11:30. All right. You've got a few minutes, members. So you can look at this. It's just saying that these are things you can use over and above their own report. They are scheduled to be at 11:30, so we've got 15 minutes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's break for that time, and then we will reconvene as soon as the instructions have any team around. Continue in our meeting. To our colleagues that have just joined us from the judicial inspectors, welcome. We are going to ask you to introduce yourself because there are two or three new faces that we specifically asked for that others might not be familiar with. Colleagues from the stakeholders were here early on, but new faces joined us. You also more than welcome. From stakeholders, you are always welcome. Colleagues from the media were here earlier. If they're still here, they're more than welcome. We are to engage with the quarterly report, and of course our colleagues from NCOP, you're more than welcome, sir. To engage with the quarterly report for the judicial inspector year ending, or for the period ending 31st of December last year. We have received all the documentation and it has been distributed, so members would have had it. Also, just to say to Your Worship, Dr. Chabalala, so by now you would have had it about it, but we surprised your team a week ago, or a couple of days ago, and we rocked up unannounced, deliberately so from our side. So even those observations, some of them, if they are relevant, will also be raised from our unannounced oversight visit. So it's just more than your report, but it could be that necessary. So, welcome. Could we ask the new faces, because we are pretty much familiar with the old faces, those that have not been part of the committee, if you could just identify yourself and your role, and then we'll hand over to the judge and Mr. Carlton then to give their opening remarks. But before you do that, somebody like Dion, you're brand new, and I'm not sure if there are any others, if you can just introduce yourself and your portfolio.
Dion Watson, Financial Engineer.
Here's the mic, please, sir.
My name is Boyani Tola, New Communications Officer.
I'm Tulani Parker, Communications Officer.
Over to you, sir. Judge. And you, chief.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. You know, I think we've prepared quite a detailed report. That is a quarterly report. I don't know what, if there's anything anybody is not aware of, they can ask questions. I mean, we have a website of it, and it's fairly detailed. Your regional offices, I was around Cape Town, and Mr. Kelce was not there, was not in his office, and we I don't know where we
Baltimore,
oh, yes, we're going to Baltimore prison. That's why we missed that. So, I don't know. Chair, I don't know whether you want me to be highlighting anything here. It's so clear.
Judge, we just thought if you had any overall opening remarks. If you don't have any overall opening remarks, we'll then get into the actual discussion. So
yes.
Opening remarks, if there were any.
Yes. No, I think what is paramount at this stage is our budgeting. You are aware that our office has expanded tremendously, and we've got new areas where we have got presence, like George, Evan, Bloemfontein. Now all these areas have got people who are working there, and therefore they must be catered for in a budget. But what did DPS has done, they have allocated us the same amount of money for your budget as they had done in the previous financial year. We have met them in Pretoria, Mr. Carlos and myself, and to discuss this issue, and they told us that they are stringent instructions from the ministry that they should cut down the budget. My response was that even though there are those stringent
members are indicating they can't hear, and maybe this mic is not working. Normally the red light will go on. I don't think so. Oh, it's working, okay, fine.
Yes. Our attitude was that even though there are these stringent aspects of budgeting which have received instructions about, they still have surplus at the end of each financial year, which surplus they've got to return to the fiscus. In other words, we were saying we don't accept their excuse of saying that they are stringent issues by the treasury. Now, we definitely won't come out with the present facility which they have advised for us. That's one aspect. The second aspect we discussed that because that meeting was very important. It was a question of strikes in the various centers. The first one being Phnom Penh in North Free State, and St. Albans and Portsmouth. Now, we have on Phnom Penh, we have a very detailed report prepared by our investigator, which I take it you have received a copy of same. And on that day, after we discussed that our submissions were based on the report which we had already received, and we then went to visit Mr. Carlos and myself, went on an inspection of this prison. When we got there, we got a different story from the deputy correctional commissioner. The deputy regional commissioner. And she says she got there that day late and so on. And she gave us a different picture, which sort of put the whole blame on the inmates. that the inmates instead of standing the place and collected stones, and the committee, the inmate committee, had collected stones in the courtyard and were throwing the stones at the officials. Officials had to retreat and get reinforcements and so on, and that the inmates were refusing to go back to the cells until the SAS came and some other body. The task force. And then the inmates returned to the cells. Now, our view was that what she was saying was being superficial, because what happened, what she saw as having happened, there was a cause for all this. And as you well know, the inmates had complained as far back as the previous year, in October, they had made certain submissions, complaints to the management. And according to the inmates, those matters they were complaining about were not attended to. And the attitude of the inmates was that the officials seemed not to pay attention to their grievances. Now what triggered the whole thing, which now became violent, was the fact that on that day, the head of prison had authorized them to go and play soccer. And then what happened was that they were supposed to open the cells at 9 in the morning to enable them to go and play soccer. They were not opened until about 11. The reasons given why they were not opened was that they had a meeting. Now, we find it strange that whilst inmates have made a request which has been accepted, the officials go and have a meeting, and when they start to open the gates, it was late already for them to practice. And that is what triggered the violence which took place on that day. So the one at St. Albans, the violence there was caused by the inmates. It was inmates on inmates. It was the violence which is based on gang terrorism. Similarly, in Cosmo, the violence which occurred at Cosmo arose because of gang terrorism. And the inmates were attacking each other. So the officials mainly played a role in trying to quell the violence which had erupted. It had nothing to do with the officials as such. I'll go back to the subject. Our problem really is that the minister approved of the fixed establishment. So the minister was aware that we had, because of that, advertised and employed new staff. Now, for them not to consider that and just tell us about their problem, which is not a problem, their financial management, which is suspect, is not satisfactory. We're not satisfied with that. I think I've highlighted the issues raised which are paramount to us, and we have discussed with management. In the offices which have been established, especially in Free State and Devon, we don't have our own offices. We have offices, but we don't have our own size in the sense that they are our own offices. We are squatting. The Free State one, our office is squatting at the prison, which makes it worse for the question of independence. The office there is in...
The office is also funded through the department.
We should talk about Free State. What's the name of the Okrote. Our office is situated in prison, in Okrote prison, which makes it a subject, because people will say, well, how can these people be independent when they've got offices in the same premises as the center, correctional center. In Devon, we have two offices. One office is where I am, which is the house of my secretary and myself, and it's in the premises of public works. The whole area is, or in the floor where we are, we just gave us two offices in a setup which is occupied by public works. The coordinator, regional coordinator, and his staff is in an office in another building, 85 on Field Street. There, they are sharing space with the Department of Correctional Services, Westville.
Community Corrections.
Community Corrections of Westville.
That's correct.
And in George also.
Community Corrections, George.
We are housed with Correctional Communications, George. So the whole setup is very uncomfortable. And to a person who knows what is happening, he may not trust us, or he may not trust us that we will do a proper job in our investigations. And I must admit that, so far as the investigations are concerned, our investigators is factual account of what happened, and we are satisfied that we don't try and hide anything which happens in these correctional centers, thereby emphasizing our independence. I don't know whether there's anything else, and if I've left anything, Mr. Carter will add. But what I was just talking about now, which is apart from the report itself, is the problem we have with the HCS. Now, in the report itself, you notice that there are a number of spaces where we have written to TCS and they have not responded. We have written to them letters. They're still supposed to come back to us, which is unsatisfactory, because some of the issues which we raised are issues which took place last year. You know, during this year, and up to now we haven't received any responses from TCS. If you go through the report, you'll notice that they promised us that they will respond, but they don't. Now, because of our position, we have no authority to take action either to refer anything to prosecution or to whatever authority as the Section 9 bodies have. Now, I'm talking about the Human Rights Commission, Public Protector, you know, institutions like that. So they have a remedy. They can take, action. We cannot take action as presently constituted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think I have anything better to add.
Anything from your side?
Two things, honorable members, very brief, is the dilemma that you are sitting in with a budget that is short, but you will also be understanding at the same time. I trust that you will have an opportunity to explain that. And secondly, not part of this report, but I think it is noteworthy that we are just investigating a report that I sent yesterday to you. That my personal opinion is of a very, very serious nature, something similar to what happened in our case in Gauteng at Durban Westville, where an inmate died at the hands of 8 of our officials. And even if we don't discuss it today, I think it is something that should be taken very, very seriously. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Get discussed it and discuss your understanding, because when I open up to members, then they will ask you a question. So whatever you want to raise, when you open up the members, then
the Durban Westville one in a nutshell, on Saturday during breakfast, inmates stabbed 2 other inmates. 8 members then restricted that inmate, and they have altered it, and I think tortured it to the extent that he later on died. We did an investigation there, and there's within the department conflicting statements that we received from the members as to what the medical staff say. He did go into his medical history. He did not die of anything else but being tortured, being beaten, being assaulted. 8 members of DCS, they put the rest of the inmates back in the cell. They took him out, and that was a state. And I think if we as the judicial inspector don't take this matter very serious and don't leave any stone unturned, I don't think see how we can just that is after all myself and our staff members feel about this matter. The second one is the scenario is that our 2011-2012 budget is 31 million. It has been an increase of 7 million to the previous year. Now the 7 million made provision for should the new post establishment be approved, which it has been approved by the minister in November of 2012. Immediately after we've received in writing confirmation that the structure has been approved, we went to the department and requested them to create these new, in total, 55 posts on parcel, because we can only appoint people on parcel on the fixed post establishment. We then learned from the department that they are not able to create additional posts on parcel because of a dilemma that they are in, not filling all their posts and underspending, as the judge has alluded to. Because we are part of their budget, they cannot create new posts. So we are sitting with money to appoint people, but we can't appoint the people. And all the 55 posts, there are 30 plus people in contract position, as long as 2 years already. And I've expressed that on previous occasions. So on our compensation aspect of the budget, we sit with funds, but we cannot create posts on transport. Therefore, we cannot appoint people. So we're bringing the money that we have budgeted for back to the government coffers. And what we requested is that 7 million will not be able to cover all 55. So we said, let us just create sufficient that can cover that amount and phase it in over 2 financial years. And that is the dilemma, and we just thought that this is a platform to explain how we are going to, we need more money, but we are also underspending at the same time, so that we can understand in context. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Honourable members.
Thanks, Chair Shabalala and CEO Khalsa. I think for the record, members, we must state that we stated after Punta that inmates, like any other South African, is entitled to be treated with the dignity that it deserves. And that we will condemn and will continue to condemn blatant abuse by officials and inmates. As much as we will condemn abuse of inmates on officials. I think we want to put that on record, because the media, after our visit, had its own take. We are stating that inmates doing wrong is condemned, officials doing wrong is condemned. But what worries, and I'm looking at members of the committee, if indeed 8 inmates or 8 officials are alleged to have brutally murdered an inmate, then we cannot do anything about it as a portfolio committee. We cannot. Not 3 days after what has happened in Davidson with the police, we cannot not do anything about it. So it might mean, Bartel, that some of us might have to go and take a turn and have our own, because these have said they've done something, the department have done something. But maybe one or two of us might have gone there, just to get our own assessment of it. I really do think that if what you are saying is correct, we cannot not do anything about it. So until we've gone to have a look at it, maybe, and I'm suggesting to members, they can comment as we close. How do we take this forward? We can't pretend that we never had it. We can't pretend that we never had it. It's been formally tabled. And the committee must react. My suggestion is that we might have to send a delegation just to go and do its own verification before we comment formally on it. But for now, let it suffice that if inmates are being tortured or brutally murdered, then we've got to condemn it. And those that are involved, like the police in Davidson, must also be suspended and face the criminal charges. Let's record it as such. Similarly, if inmates are guilty, let them also take the might of the law. I thought it was important that we say that, so that it's recorded from outside. But let's open it up into members on the report, on everything else that has come. The final point that I also wanted to make is that, unlike Mongwenya, unlike the financials, you know, this department deals with human beings. We are not dealing with something from December. We are in February. If DCS is not responding today on today's thing, we can't talk in February about somebody that was killed 2 days ago. So it's totally, it's a bit different to dealing with cold financial and cold messages, because we can't deal with human beings. So again, in our thinking, we must be able to say, how do we distinguish? A quarterly report for the financials is a good thing, but a quarterly report for day-to-day abusers, is it the best way to do it as a portfolio committee?
Otherwise, you are still coming to talk to us or talking to us, Judge. So it's something that we need to look at. Can we find a way of marrying our oversight, financial, and our oversight, human rights? Members must talk to them. And whatever has come out in the report, so we're opening it up. You guys will then field the question. Mr. Malkabula will be the first one. Sispalito second, Mam Gwenya third, Advocate Max will be the fourth one, and Abraham will be the first one. They will allow you to respond, and it will take another hour. Mr. Malkabula, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I feel for the judicial because really they are waiting in fact to be allowed to somebody else. So they can't do their own thing at their own right. Really, when we were there, Chief, we even feel that no matter they want to employ someone, they can't because they have huge budgets with the department. And then I think this matter we have to face with the department when the department is here and the chief is here. So we have to raise it and how are we going to work forward on this matter is really painful, Chairperson. You were there even when we asked questions, some questions they can't answer because the department must ask because the operation of the GC in the department. So really, we have to make sure that we discuss this matter and then come up with a solution immediately. And another thing, Chairperson, the issue of the inmate and assault, maybe stabbed some other inmate, and then all of a sudden the inmate that has do not the stabbed. I think we are speaking when we speak about the right as the members of parliament, we are speaking about the right because we are protecting the human rights. You can't allowed to deny the right of the other person as well when you don't want your right to be denied. I remember when we were at prison, they were tortured when we were coming from our oversight in KwaZulu-Natal. And then there is a prison there that we go. And then we said, no, there was a torture here. We were informed by Judicial Inspectorate what happened. And then the head of the center said, Alpha asked very well. He said, yes. And it happened. They were refusing. Seemingly they want to fight with us. And then we take our powers under section, he called that section, to make them to do what to make them to do what the center wants them to do because they were not cooperating. Seemingly, when we come to the issue like this, I want to remind the members that when we were at the home base, we saw this in our eyes. We were at the home, and then we were taken out immediately because a certain inmate wants a rank because I stabbed the police in front of the members of parliament and then I want a rank. And then the police come in front of us. Blood was all over the police. And after all, the media, when they ask about the rights of the inmate that was fighting, even no matter they take him out of the place where the incident happened. He was keep on fighting with the police. And you mean that why he stabbed the police in front of everyone? So the police must say, no, please, you can step in with me. Nothing that I can do for you. Really, I think also we have to look at that while we are looking at the rights of the human nature. Actually, we are responsible for all people that are in the facility. including the police itself. So really, I take it what you said, but what I really put the, what really puts a question mark to me is that already the inmate has already stabbed two people inside. The police must take him out nicely, respect his human his rights of human whatsoever, but he's stabbed inside. He was tempted by the one trying to kill him. And I don't think he was very quiet to the police also. Well, not quiet. So really, we have also to look, lot of loopholes, because really, seemingly, we are taking the whole country and giving to the inmates to do whatever that is happening. Really, if you can check the incident that has been happened throughout, you see that moment, there is a problem. The inmate having a problem. You can't attempt to kill a police for you to get the right. No. Really, I think we have also, when you look, Chicks, when you look this matter, you have just to go down in the roots of the matter. Because really, even yourself, you said, he stepped to inmate. And then we don't know what happened. So we said, no, we respect the rights. We respect the right. We respect whatever that will come up in whatsoever. But really, we have to make sure that these inmates are abusing their rights, I think.
Paulisho?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is, one gets so frustrated because this report, to my view, it's like we are playing a long player record over and over and over. There are no changes. If you look at the report, it's the same thing, delayed reports from DCA, actions not taken. It goes on and goes on, and you go and look at the previous report, and then you pick up the very same thing. Delayed reports from DCA. There is no appetite from DCA to respond quickly, adequately, saturation of not knowing really where is the place of chicks in this area. The ransom feeling that one gets that this is ransom, whether we like it or not. They are ransom. They can't really buy a hand because that hand is sitting there. Chairperson, mine is, I really want to add what Honorable Makapula is saying. I think there is a moral breakdown. Both on officials, I don't want to talk about inmates because of error they are inside there. They were angry. They wronged society, rehabilitation is supposed to take place there. It is not done adequately. We have seen the budget and we have seen the report. We went with that report of DCS. Truly speaking, we have to shift the focus. Here, something needs to be done very quickly, because society is angry. What the anger is all about, we don't know. But there is an anger in society, giving us an indication of there is a moral breakdown. Going down to this report, we are going to see the very same song that we sang in the previous report of Oxfam. There is no change. I don't see any change. To me, we have at this portfolio give direction that Jigs must be a parastatal. We will have to give that direction.
They must be independent, you mean? Yeah.
They must be a parastatal, because we are in other portfolios where we do have the very same model. We've got in agriculture, we've got your ARCs, your MMSCs, your OPPs, your water guard, your marine breeding resources, fund water guard. All those other parastatals, state owned enterprises of agriculture. Why is this one of Jake so satisfying that these are the information that we get independently from them? But independently, so they are dependent on what is the outcome of DCS, delayed or non-investigation. I don't know what to call it. Because Luther and Chaperton have to shift, and we have to shift this in our own environment of debate. We have to do that. But this needs to be done very quickly. I don't even want to respond to inmates getting officials getting inmates. It's the anger that is there. And there is no tool, we all know, there is no tool to uplift the moral of officials working with these very angry people. We know how we get the cry out of the care program, the rehabilitation program. That is understandable. And they've got their reasons why they did understand. This side, you've got your very angry inmate. The anger is both sides. I don't even want to go into this report asking why, what was the reasons of these females that were stripped, were they stripped by females, why is the report giving us that it was inhuman because it was a female who stripped them. I don't even want to go into that explanation and clarity to fix that clarity, because the clarity will be the very same reason that I got in the previous report. And that's the frustration I had. For us really is to shift jigs to the parastatals so that they can have their own budget. To be able to streamline their programs and their monitoring accordingly.
Thank you very much, Mamalisha. And I remember the answer because some of these things are not pointed to jigs. As we answer, we must also talk to some of these things that come out, like the last proposal. I'm going to hear the next, and then Mr. Matthew will follow, and then Baba Abra.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm grateful for your presentation. Before I make my comments, Chair, I want us to look at page 7 on the update on labor-related matters. The report shows that then there were three reaching warning and the verbal warning. Now I want to know what were the transitions in each case and whether the officials are permanent or contract. The two chairs, how many days are allocated for mentoring leave? And what is the employment statistics in terms of level of management? All these questions is on page 7. Now, Chair, in terms of the treatment of the inmates and their condition, Chair, please. On the centers that we need to have a question from the department that we need that book of practice. Then we need to start from there. Because each and every morning inmates got a right to raise their doctor or complaint. And when we go to the center chair, when we go to oversight, we also don't request them to give us that book. Because that book is going to assist us that day. Is it the work taking serious the complaints that the inmates that are being there? Because it's part of rehabilitation chair. And when we go to Kundan, we did get the sense that inmates they put complaints but they are not listening to them. The worst part happening in terms of the security, I don't know the inspecting judge, how do they see that center? But that center is not good for the inmates that gave a 2-life sentence according to my observation. That sentence was good for them.
Kumbens.
Kumbens, yes.
That center, according to me, that center was supposed to be closed or take those inmates out of that center immediately after we leave. Because the fence was old in such a way that in yourself when you shake it, it fall out. And the cold that air was for the fence is the one that they were using to break the wall. Because everything there is rotten. Doesn't it even make any sense? Who is the fence there for now? Who is the thing who put my face in the say, look at them. Therefore, there's no security there. For the people who are resident to life centers, but that kept in that center. That's the analysis that kept them. I observed that is not coming out from this report in terms of the building of that that center. And the investigation center. I don't know how I'm going to continue. Every time we get that the case is still in between and it's going to end itself. Not even a single day Chairperson that you get the department tells you that the member that have charged. The only thing that you are going to get is that we have suspended that member. I'm not sure I mean you have to start. I'm head about to start a dance to gain out members that have been arrested, that these are the members that are doing wrong things and they have arrested so much. In the Department of Correctional Studies, when are we going to get that report that this member has done 1, 2, 3 and is arrested and put to administer prison? We are not going to that is that important. Because the kill and killing, the inmates that killed the member, and the members that killed the inmate, but we are not getting how are they treating these cases inside the in our center. That needs to be changed. And the issue of taking the inmate and transfer to another center is the challenge because when they take the inmate to another center, the information now is gone. That case is not going to be followed up anymore. You'll find the inmate, maybe the leg now is broken, and that case, now when they take him to another center, that center doesn't care about the case of this inmate. Because he's an inmate. Doesn't have power. Then the member that he has assault or kill that inmate is free. So Chair, we put it a big challenge on that. And the department will never give us free answer on this thing. But we need to demand it capital. In terms of the office of the inspector in charge, I don't know why capital this office was inside in the office. Maybe we need to get an explanation from the department why this office was inside, why it's not outside, what was the challenge for them to not to look for the place for the inspection that to have an office that is going to be comfortable on its capacity. Yeah. Capacity, I think these are the recommendation that maybe I did
thanks, Ma. Advocate Bach?
Thanks, Jefferson. First of all, if we look at page 72 of your report, Mr. Carlson, you will see the regional trainer. Now, if number of posts is 4, call 6, establishment 3, and vacant 2, how do you get it 4? Number of posts 4, and then you say vacant is 2, but there are 3 posts. So you get to 5 then, instead of 4. So it is an error.
That's the error, yes.
Okay,
apologize for that.
Then, Mr. Carlson, you actually printed the last time a very coded picture where you got your relationship after the first time when they actually let out the grand details about their reluctance to report all these outstanding complaints which were sent to them for action and to give feedback. And during our visit, surprise visit, it became very clear that those reportable in dealing with these matters are very restrained of getting responses back. It was not as cozy as you actually told us, which annoyed me very much. And if one look at this report, then you will see here that there are 30 days outstanding, 60 days outstanding, 90 days outstanding. And also, I don't know what you must explain this to me or to the committee, feedback from head office. Feedback from HCC. So, I don't know what it means. How long is the feedback outstanding? I don't know. And what is been done about this outstanding 30 days and 60 days? And as well as the document outstanding, some of them indicate DGS investigation report is outstanding. So, how long has it been outstanding? There is no indication. It might be more than 90 days, you know, and that's feedback from HCCC as well. Then, Mr. Carter, I just want to know, because you this assault in Durbanville, of the Durban Westville, was there a criminal case open with the police? Because you didn't mention it, although the Shepherd said they should be accountable for that criminally as well. And with regard to your problem, it's a serious, serious problem. This money, this inability of DCS to create these new positions which you seeking to do your job properly. Now we can say you've got this problem, and we are independent, but you suffered by the hand of him at the decision of DCM. What needs to be done to overcome this particular issue? What needs to be done? And not, I don't like to hear, yes, you have a mental year, whatever. The job must be done now. And you said with the people there were contracts, we have heard that the moment that they are in tune, in role with the process, then they are in, their contracts are terminated for other people. And when those come, they go training, when they are in, the machinery is rolling, then they must exit. And this is a very unhealthy situation, especially for an independent, a so-called independent body like yours. Then, I will tell something else. What difference is that? Definitely. I don't know the rim de la cama is a loop. A lot of things, when we left, afterwards I got home. I believe you people were visiting that place. I said, yes. And I was forwarded with a couple of things, allegations. And I don't want to act on allegations. And therefore I'm going to repeat Mr. Carlson just to find out whether these rumors, people are sometimes hearing that of victimization, but these people who contacted me is not in the employ of the department, they were there. They said that if you look at page 7 of your report, your update on absenteeism, I've got information that your top management is abusing absenteeism. Sorry, put me. Some of the top management. And I must be very frank when I'm going to say that. And here they are referring to your head of legal services. I don't know, and I would like to see whether this is substantive. And also, if we want to employ people, we have to create an atmosphere which is conducive for people to perform at their level best. And I believe also that the very personal attitude is not actually conducive for good relationships.
Either you know of it, I don't know what is the situation. But they claim to be very rude gentlemen. I don't know, I didn't work with him, I don't know where this thing. I just put it to you, because as the chairperson indicated, we visited, there were rumors. He actually gave his telephone number to see whether those rumors are substantiated. So I convey to you people the rumors is recalled. I don't want to play underhandedness. So whether these things can be proven in the report which is submitted about the sick leave and whatever the case may be, if not, it's gone. If yes, if it isn't proven, what are we going to do about it? You understand, we have to address. We have to create an atmosphere where everybody can work constructively. Because one person can't make the whole situation unbearable. So, for starters, the deputy, that is my input.
Thank you very much, Mr. Abraham, followed by Ma'am Ngubeni.
Very dankie, Kudita. Chairperson, you know, I'm reminded by what the Dalai Lama said. Our prime purpose in this life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. I accepted, Chairperson, that the inmate has wronged society, and that is why the inmate gets incarcerated, he is found guilty, or she is found guilty. That does not mean that that inmate must now be treated like suffering. And I get the impression, Jefferson, looking at all the reports and everything else that comes out, and you look at the fact that inmates are assaulted, and inmates also assault fellow inmates, and they also do it vice versa with officials. Now, the problem here, Jefferson, is that there is something gravely wrong in our society. And what we are failing to do is we are merely looking at symptoms, and we are not looking at the root causes of why our society has turned so violent. That this principle that we all espouse glibly of Ubuntu seems to be fading, seems to be consigned to the SD. And unless a person, we are prepared to have officials and people in correctional services who are imbued with that kind of humanity, where that person sees it as a duty, as a calling to be in the service, and not merely just a job. If you don't have that kind of passion there, unfortunately, you're not going to go very far. Now, Chairperson, I just want to make one comment about paid care. Yes, I know that we've got all these things about employment equity and all sorts of things. What I hate, Chairperson, is when anybody talks about race. I'm God's creation. I'm born in South Africa. I'm a South African full stop. This business of, you know, the racial composition of the inspectorate is 73% black, 23% color, 3% white, and 1% Indian. I dare anybody to call me an Indian because I wasn't born in India. I'm born here. I would love to know who's an Indian. The Buddhas are, not me. The Chairperson, we need to create a spirit that an employee or anybody involved in the inspectorate is part of the inspection service there. If that person is a club or whatever, I don't care to which what his or her color is. That person must do the job. That person must be imbued with the spirit of wanting to serve his or her fellow human being. That should be the bottom line. We should get away from this. Because, Chairperson, there is no law in the country at the moment like the Race Classification Act, the Dali Fung law, which called me an Indian, but they gave me a card and a blue ID book which said I'm South African citizen. Yet I wasn't allowed to live in the Free State or even to go through the Free State without a permit. But those things have been abolished. We should get away from race here and look at an individual and his worth or her worth.
center, we will bring about the unity of purpose in our country, where we all aspire to do what is right for all the citizens of the country. Chairperson, on page 13, you will notice that there is reference being made to the Union Bail facility, and what apparently transpired there with regard to the issue of clothing. And, you know, issues like shoes and that sort of stuff. You see, Chairperson, my problem is that are our officials up to the task? Are they carrying out basic prescriptions? And that is part of our problem. Officials who are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. Now, Chairperson, my question is that there are certain clear standards with regard to the provision of certain items when an inmate is booked in. Does it need the time and the effort of the judicial inspector to also have to take up such complaints because the officials haven't done their job? Issues like, for example, depression, the provision of shoes, the provision of clothing, the provision of uniforms, there are procedures laid down. And if the officials are not doing their job, I promise you, there are thousands of other people unemployed in our country that will want to. This business of protecting people who are not prepared to carry out the basic things in life, and that is to respect the terms of their work, then that person does not want to work. We shouldn't be here to protect people who don't want to work, if they cannot carry out basic principles. Chairperson, the problem here is that we have, for example, I made a note here somewhere, bear with me here, you have to ask the postman, I'll keep open. You take, for example, on page 70 of the report. It is stated that there was a recommendation in Jigsaw's 2011-12 annual report that the head of correctional centers should attend visitors' committee meetings. And this report mentioned further that there has been improvement. That's what he said in the current report. In terms of the attendance by DCS officials.
Sir, can you help us? We're on page 70?
4.
74.
74. 70 number 4. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 74. Chairperson, now my question to the inspectorate would be the following. When we say that there has been an improvement here, for example, if I found that there were no visits at all, and now there's one, that could be an improvement, but it is not an improvement to talk about, taking into account how many visitors committees you have. Can there be a quantification check? What is the level of improvement and whether those involved are attending regularly, yes or no? And are they merely attending for the sake of compliance and then sitting back and doing nothing, marking themselves present? Or is there some activity coming out? Chairperson, my other problem is, you take an example, the fact that we have over the past decade, even more, we've had the Jali Commission, which did a reasonable in-depth investigation. We've also had the white paper. We've got all these beautiful documents and reports. What I do know is that when we last discussed what happened with regard to the provision in the white paper, I think the only thing that I've seen that comes back is certain minor issues that have been attended. Now you have a bureaucracy at the correctional services department, in the service. When they come here, that whole row there is too small. They have to fill over. Now, Chairperson, what is all that human material doing? When we find that there are major issues within the services, that are not being attended. The chairperson, unless you are prepared to take the bull by the horns and see to it that the department does its core function as it espouses in the vision and mission statement, unless we see that happening, Chair, I'm afraid, Chair, we will one day find ourselves constitutionally liable for all these deaths of inmates, deaths of officials, and all the wrongs taking place in those departments. Chairperson, for how long have we been talking about the issue of minor repairs, minor improvements, for how long? Up to now, Chair, the department has not come forward to say that with regard to, for example, paint peeling, with regard to the plumbing being dysfunctional, we are able to provide some or other in-house capacity as a result of inmates knowing the job or whatever. And we give them a certain. That will be far cheaper, Chair, than to outsource where you make out a work order and then you are overcharged all the time. Let's be honest, Chair Person. When one looks at all these expenditures that we also heard earlier this morning, they are always back-ended, unfortunately. Whether we like it or not, Chair, there's always somebody that is there for a take. And you have that kind of human being, Chairperson, you are not going to progress very well. Such people need to be weeded out, not posted somewhere else, which is so blatantly happening in our public service. You must do it, you get a better job. Now, Chairperson, the other issue that we need to look at here is the number of vacancies of ICCVs, vacancies or on parole boards. I want to venture to say that several people who should have been out on parole are still in the services because somebody somewhere does not have a care in the future. That parole board does not sit because the chairperson is term of office expired.
I respect you immensely, Baba Abraham. I really do. But parole boards is really not part of our discussion today. ICCVs and those things, I think we can focus on. But stuff outside of ICCVs, can we reserve them for another meeting? I'm asking
you. No problem, Jefferson. I abide by your decision. But what I'm trying to say, Chair, is that the general problem within the service is that we don't have horses for bosses. And now to expect the judicial inspector to every now and then go there and come back with issues like this here. I don't think that is the function of the judicial sector. They're going to have a greater function. Before I conclude, Chair, we have this other problem. And that is that there's a whole host of problems inmates, for example, we've just heard of the death of the other inmate at the hands of those that are supposed to be protecting him. Then, Chairperson, you've got all these many problems that we have seen, infrastructure. I mean, I'm discussing the report. It shouldn't be a problem that the judicial inspectorate should be bringing to the table. It should have been something, Chairperson, that the department itself, I don't know how they operate. I don't know. When you have a major company, which this institution is, because they have a 17 billion rand budget, then you have people, a corporate manager for human resources, a corporate manager for sales or whatever. Don't these people meet? Don't they get regular reports from every center within a region, an area as you call them? That the area commissioner then takes those things up and goes along to a national meeting and from there decides what needs to be done. Chairperson, unless we also look very seriously at how the inmate spends his or her time. They say, Chairperson, that an idle mind is the devil's playground. Here we have situations where we heard the other day at Cleveland that when they did a search or something, they found 16 inmates with the knife, or they found 16 knives. The other day they found 16 knives. Question is here, how did the knife get in? So there's a whole host of problems. And what we need here is we need the relevant, accountable department, in this case DCS, to place on the table clearly the problems that we've discussed here last year and the previous year and the previous year. Let me tell you, Jefferson, when we leave here in 2014, which is almost a year from now, there will be an election in this country 13 months from now, 14 months from now. I am afraid, Chair, we will look back and we will say what a waste of a precious 5 years. This department, we have not been able to get it to operate the way it should. And Chairperson, if head was wrong, let them know. I mean, I'm starting entitled to a job, I'm not doing that. So Chairperson, a lot of the problems that Jig said with is to be found in the fact that we don't have a public service, a bureaucracy within the department that is willing to do the job. And as far as Jig is concerned here, I believe that Jig should have teeth. Jig should be able to do far more than merely visiting, preparing a report, and the report goes to the very people in the majority of cases who are the cause of the problem. So they are going to do nothing. And I think, Chairperson, what we need to do as a portfolio committee should take the Jig's report and tell the department right now. Here's everything that Dix has told us has happened under their jurisdiction for the last 3 months, under their inquiries over the last 3 months. We want an answer on each and every item. What have you done about it? What improvements have you made? Otherwise, Chair, we are not going to function. I come back and say, Chair, we need to run correctional services like in prisons. We have not had a single presentation by DCS in the 4 years that I am yet, giving us a pronouncement, something looking ahead. This is what we're going to do in terms of care. And this is what we've achieved in the last 12 months. This is what we're going to do in terms of rehabilitation. And this is what we've achieved. I don't mind. This is what we've done. We're going to put up 3 new workshops. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We've heard so many times, Chairperson, about a public utility, you know, some company that they called, Home, I can remember, where inmates are manufacturing something, it will be marketed, and that something will happen. A dream, Chairperson, which is turning into a nightmare. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief Memorial, that came against us for the time to show this question. My first question will be on page 6 about the approved structure of 66 that has been approved by the department to regulate the new health center. I just want to know that this is sensitivity to the community in terms of creating pressure, because the whole thing is not only making your job to not possible, it's also jeopardizing the whole idea of job creation. This up to now we have not employed people, whereas good posts are funded. The second one is on equity. You need to stipulate clearly how many women are represented in high positions in top and senior positions. And also under equity, we need to know that how many people are working every day, have you absorbed in your establishment as compared to the 2% compliance. During our visit, we discovered that you have a problem of retaining your ICT and your salary is or your stipend is very, very low. I think they're getting something that is less than 2,000 a month as compared to in Harold Ball. Their stipend is very, very high. I think you need to revise the salary, because it's very, very low. On the issue of the clashes and children to the center, I don't think we can be able to resolve that now. Even though charges can be laid, people can be charged, we need to look at the root cause of the whole thing. We know that even overcrowding is the cause of this. Even
salaries. They are complaining, the officials are complaining about salaries. I think we need a team that can make an investigation on how this can be addressed. There are a lot of issues that cause these clashes and killings. But people cannot just wake up and decide to kill each other or one another. That real threat comes. We need to investigate. We also know that even buildings where these inmates are housed are not suitable. For instance, like in Queensland, you find people that are saving lives, whereas that center is not designed to catch it. So all those things need to be checked, because officials are also frustrated. The director, but they're supposed to man a big crowd of inmates. And also inmates are overcrowded in those little cells. So we need to look at this in a holistic way. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Just before we don't have time. It's going to be your only input. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do more. But just to indicate to members that clearly there are issues of operations and issues of structure. And issues of structure, I'm talking about independence and so on. Those are issues that we're going to have to decide. I do think, members, that all of us in our individual capacity, in our political parties or whatever it is, that at our stakeholder meeting of the 26th, we're going to have to pronounce what do we think about the independence or otherwise of the effective test. I think we have to do that. So I'm asking people to go and discuss it somewhere, because unless we fix that thing up, all these other things, Mom, Palito, you correct, will come every month, and then we can say to this guy, you've got the teeth, why are you doing whatever you need to do? So I think there are those issues of infrastructure that we will have to discuss. There's a stakeholders meeting on the 26th, and we will deal with that. So I don't want you to respond to those things, because we've heard what you said. I think you're asking for it. We need to find a way of either motivating or losing that debate, at least with those that happen to be. And then there are other issues. I'm looking at Mr. Munting, I'm looking at Ms. Vanessa from Nicro Fariat and others. We're still having a stakeholders meeting. I mean, there's very valid issues that are coming out from members. How do you balance the right of somebody that's stabbed against the right of somebody that is being stabbed? So I really don't want you to answer that. But I think because we've asked you at a stakeholders meeting to come and talk generally, when you talk about torture and abuse, we need you guys to come and explain that to us. Mr. Munting, I'll tell you, because when we raise the issue of the right of the inmates, then you get social media saying, hey, those guys are prisoners anyway, let them die. I'm saying this is a society thing. When you say, no, let them die because they're inmates, then you get other people saying, yeah, but we don't have a culture of human rights. Why are we abusing? In other words, we can't do this thing unless it depends on which side you are from. So I do think that we must have a discussion where do we balance the right of the inmate versus the right of the official, so that, as Mamuni said, we don't have demoralization on either side. So I don't know if you'd like to answer that. We'll have that discussion about the rights and everything else when we have our meeting of the 26th. And I'm hoping that our colleagues from the stakeholders will talk to us, that, and you as well will talk to us, because you'll be invited to that meeting if you've not been invited. What I think you need to respond to, let me remind you, sir, because of time. Your base 7 or something has the transgressions, the 7. I think the question is, what is the nature of those transgressions? You need to answer that. There's a question around the maternity leave, how long is maternity leave, and the whole issue that has been raised, both by Mamgwenya and Ngubeni, demographic, to take into account gender, to take into account disabled, so just talk to all of those things. Then you need to talk to us about your impression of the suitability of Kroonstad, the maximum sentence. Please also talk to us about what it means, the 30 days or 60 days that you've got somewhere. So talk to that issue. Then we want you to talk to us about your planning for filling of vacancies. Remember the raise. But we know that contract terminated, people leave, then they write to us and they say, Chairperson, I was at Mumfree,
They didn't sting my contract, and for the last 6 months, nobody's servicing it. We went to Kroonpan. People had resigned in November. We told that they're only going to be replaced in October, in February the next year. I would imagine, might be due to the department, there are those that are going to retire because they reach retirement age. You better plan for it. There are others that you know are on contract. Why do you have to wait until the contract expires? People? So just talk to us about filling in of these vacancies and contract termination. Somebody has asked about the abuse of sick leave, specifically the legal, yes. Talk to us about that. Mr. Abram asked about the age, the head of the center visiting, and you saying that it's been improved. Why do you say that? We talked about creating posts in personnel and those type of things, equity figures we've spoken about. And then, of course, when we meet as stakeholders, I think we all have to answer the question, what is the root cause of the anger, and does that need to be dealt with if we ever hope of dealing with the overcrowding and those things in the correctional services? So can you allow you just to answer those questions for us? Okay.
Honourable members, the HR human resource related question regarding the verbal warnings and maternity leave and the whole equity plan, if I can ask permission from the chair and honourable members to put that in writing. Our HR manager is not here and I would not like to say anything that I haven't got ground to stand on.
Mr. Abram, when you wrote this report and said there were 7 people on whatever, I'm assuming you signed this.
That's correct, yes, sir.
So surely you should have known at that point that the people that are there, even if you don't have the details, you know because of X, Y, and Z. I mean, you can't have a report presented to us and then go and ask for permission. What you could say is, did it happen on Wednesday or Thursday? Maybe we can give you that type of thing. But I think what the members are asking is, what is the category of I don't think, I'm reluctant to say to you, go and put it on paper and do it somewhere. I don't. You just need to say to us, it's sexual, it's theft, it's whatever the case might be. If the member then wants to say, give me the name, that is something that we can do later. But please tell us what category of those 7, broadly, what are the categories? If you don't know, and nobody here just knows, then we're going to send all of you home now, because you're not serious about coming to account to us. You can't have this whole team here, and nobody can say to me, you know, that thing was because somebody stole something. It doesn't work like that in business. You know, you guys know what it is, and we want you guys to tell us what it is of those things.
Mr. Chair, some of these are 2 of our staff members who were involved in irregularly suspending an RTCV. So the RTCV, they were granted to suspend, but the process was a part of it. Some of these was 2 of these was staff members that abused the telephone system. It was the telephone system, it was the suspension of an RCTV, and it was also the abuse of car, the overnight of the car. That was the nature of these written and verbal warnings.
I think that will surprise you at the nature. If the member wants to get into the detail, they can ask it afterwards. But fine, I think we're surprised that we've got the category of the discrepancy.
The one of the relationship between the department and the judicial inspector, there are just various levels of relationship. One is in terms of the budget and the structure, which is really top executive. Then there is in terms of the operational support. Then there is another level in terms of responding to investigation, protection, complaint, mandatory reports. The aspect where there has been a major improvement is when it comes to the operational support, and I want to be very clear. In the past, there was zero relationship support when it comes to matters of personnel, matters of debt, matters of logos. And we had to struggle, and we had to do our own thing, and blindfolded, follow certain things, and made us vulnerable to make mistakes. On that level, we have tremendous progress in establishing relationships and seeing that we get the necessary support so that we do not, once we become independent, receive qualified orders. So that is on that aspect. In terms of the executive level, we've dealt with that. We know our challenges. And on the third level, if we can recall our 2011 very first quarterly report, if we can recall our second quarterly report, the first quarter of 2012, we saw that the response from the department to the judicial inspectors was absolute non-existing. And if we look, yes, there are more cases where there are outstanding feedback than what we see feedback. But if we look at over a period of six quarterly reports, it is in that context that we say that there have been improvement. And I strongly believe that once we move to that level where we become independent or whatever it is, and as it has been defined with our teeth, then we can definitely put things, strategies in place to address that matter. So for advocates, that is the context in which we say there have been an improvement. The incident at Durban Medium A took place, as I said, on Saturday the 7th. The second?
No, sir, I gave a specific question that I wanted to ask. Not the other questions members have asked. I have deliberately said that because of time. I gave you the specific ones. I know members have asked.
I made note of that. I put on the code.
Just don't ask you.
Okay. An audit was done in the fourth quarter of last year on all the HR-related matters and on the files specifically of all staff on the fixed post establishment, as well as those on the fixed term contract. That audit report was sent to the chairperson and this committee, and that audit report does not reflect any abuse of any leave of any staff member. So I recall to an audit that was conducted, not staff members of the judicial inspector, but it was the deputy commissioner himself from the Department of Correctional Services. So we can prove that there was no absolute no abuse of leave, sick leave, or any other leave. I've already alluded to that when we refer to, we have sent out letters to the department specifically related to inspections, investigations, complaints of inmates, and mandatory reports. That is a struggle that we are still waiting a long period for specifically investigation reports from the department, specifically on autopsy reports from the department, and that is the two main issues when we go through the report that we will see that stands out and that is totally not satisfactory at this stage. In terms of the ICPV appointment, yes, it is not what we hope it must be. We do have a strategy in place, but if you go back to the very same page 71 of the post-establishment of the region, we will see that we need to operate the whole process, calling for nomination, interviews, training, appointment with 14 vacancies, with 16 people on contract, meaning that the office itself don't have a full complement to perform the function. And it has a major impact, and we've reported such in our report. There is, once again, and I've deliberately looked at our previous quarter report, what was our percentages in terms of the vacancy rate of ICCV, and there is a substantial increase from month to month, but we are not where we should be at least 95%.
Hello, sir. You think there's a substantial increase in vacancies or a lowering of vacancies?
The lowering of vacancies. I apologize for that one.
Okay.
Was one of the questions the creation of posts on that
one? Yes.
Treasury allocates a number of posts to the department, to each department, of which DCA is one. So Treasury allocated them in the region of 41,500 posts. So they can't create more than 41,500 posts. And because the judicial inspectorate is part of budget vote 21, we are included in that. So even if they have the money, which is the case, because we are underspending on salaries, they can't take that post to us. Because Treasury won't allow it. Won't allow the department to do. This is one of the frustrations. The fact that we are a division, we are seen as a division of the Department of Correctional Services. I don't know if I left out anything.
Yeah, you've left out the maternal gross maternity arrangement, the equity arrangement, the suitability of Bloemfontein as a maximum center, and somewhere, I think it was page 74, where you spoke about head of centers and VTs attending meetings, and you said it's in good. Somebody was saying, why did you say it's in good?
Maternity leave is, according to GPSA, 4 months. So we follow that regulation. The equity in terms of gender in our top structure, because we our unit managers are all appointed on level 9 as ASDs. We have...
Let me make it easy for you. People reporting to you, the CEO, isn't it? People reporting to you, how many males and how many females? I think that will give us a sense of everybody else.
Currently 10 people is reporting directly to me. Mm. That is the unit manager, because our director is not in place.
Just of those people, how many men, how many women, how many disabled?
Disabled one, females is 4.
That's fine. You're answering the question, that's fine.
The matter of Krimpen, as the judge said, that the judge and myself attended or visited Krimpen, and if you look at what is the criteria for a maximum center, and if you look at the structure as it is there, it does not fall into the category of a maximum center. And what makes it even worse is the percentage of overcrowdedness and the number of vacancies, which makes it a total vulnerable situation.
That helps us because of your independent opinion, that's fine. Talk to us about the, I think it's page 74 or something, where you said the head of center and the VC are supposed to attend meetings, and you said it's improving. I think somebody wants to know, why are you saying that? I'm sorry, Abra, page 74 at the very end.
We said that it improved because in the past the head of centers did not attend the visitors committee at all. All regional managers submit a monthly report to the director, and part of the report is the number of head of centers that attended those, and we monitor those on a month-to-month basis. Unfortunately, we did not include the stats in our report, but it was based on the monthly report from the regional manager to the director.
Thank you, sir. That covered it. We are about to leave. Our closing comments, inspecting judge and your team, is to ask the question, who will judge the judge? No, we are asking the question, who will judge the judge? Because I'm going to make a statement now that is very serious. You see, I'm asking that question because if there is any blot on your name, then we don't even have to have the debate about whether you must be independent or not. I don't know that you were here, but I raised it with members, and I'm saying I'm raising it with you, Inspector. But in our oversight visit, unannounced, we received serious allegations of sexual abuse by your senior managers. That's why I'm asking the question, who will judge the judge? Because if those things come to us and it is proved that in fact there are senior managers who are guilty of these things, then it means we've got a problem. Because how do we then talk to DCS about sexual abuse from your report? How do we talk to anybody about it? Again, I think Mr. Max alluded to the fact that those are allegations. But I want to say to you that I did extend an invitation to anybody who is
intimidated because they feel that they will be victimized, to talk to me in private, and I will respect their privacy. When I say me, I'm talking about us here. So I just want to bring it because you're not aware of it, so that you're at least aware of it, that if these things are forthcoming, we'll find a way of discussing it with you as a committee to say, well, these are the things that are coming out, and how do we deal with it? That's why I'm asking the question, who will have the judge? Not necessarily you, but if the judicial inspector detained it, then we might as well close shop. We might as well close shop. That's how serious we take this matter. And I'm sure something will come to you. You'll have to find a way of sifting rumor from fact. Thank you very much, Inspecting Judge. Thank you very much. Remember, she's on next week, Wednesday, I think. And then we'll deal with all these matters that are coming out, but it was very useful, and we'll continue to have interactions. The meeting is adjourned.